All right, so today we are going to be tackling something a little different.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at the Song of Songs.
Interesting.
I'll admit, when I first opened this book, I wasn't really sure what to expect.
Right.
It's not exactly, typical Sunday school reading material, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what I mean.
So luckily for us, we've got Dr. Lord Carr's lecture to
Okay.
kind of guide us through this book that's very often misunderstood and, let's be honest, pretty steamy.
Yeah, it's definitely unique.
It really
Not
is.
your typical biblical text,
No.
but that's kind of what makes it so fascinating. It
It
really
burns.
challenges our assumptions
It does.
about what kind of language and imagery can be in a sacred text.
Exactly. And Dr. Carr jumps right into that by looking at chapter 6.13 through chapter 7.5.
Okay.
And he believes this section describes a wedding celebration,
Interesting.
but the text leaves it ambiguous, like wonderfully
Oh,
ambiguous.
really? How so?
It doesn't tell us exactly who's describing the bride. Is it the guests or the groom himself?
I see.
The way it's written, you can almost imagine both.
Ah, that is
And
interesting.
it's like you're right there. It's
Yeah.
not just telling you about it. It's like you're at the wedding, experiencing it.
Yeah, you can feel the joy.
Yes, and the imagery he uses so vivid, like rounded thighs, like jewels,
Wow.
eyes, like pools of Heshbon. I mean,
That's powerful.
it is, you're drawn right into the scene.
Yeah, and I think that's where things get really interesting. You see, some commentators try to downplay the erotic meaning
Okay.
of these verses.
Right.
But Dr. Carr argues for a more straightforward interpretation.
Really?
Yeah, he says by shying away from that sensuality,
Yeah.
we risk missing out on a crucial aspect of the Song of Songs message.
That's a bold statement.
It is.
It makes you rethink how we approach the whole Bible,
It really does.
isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, Dr. Carr's stance is a challenge to how we've been conditioned to read scripture.
Right.
He's basically saying, look, the Bible's not afraid to talk about sexuality.
Right.
In fact, it celebrates it
Yeah,
within the
okay.
bounds of marriage of a committed relationship.
Okay, so let's talk about that celebration of the physical.
Yeah.
Because Dr. Call uses a really interesting example
Okay.
to illustrate this point.
Yeah.
He talks about the rounded bowl that never lacks mixed wine
Okay.
in Song of Songs 7.2.
Right. And that's one of those verses that's been interpreted so many different ways.
Hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Like some people see it as a metaphor for the church's altar and communion wine.
Yeah.
But when you read the surrounding verses,
Yeah.
they're really reaching to make that fit.
Totally. And Dr. Carr argues it's a much more natural reading
Yeah.
to see it as a metaphor for female anatomy.
Oh.
And he's not trying to be shocking or irreverent.
Right.
He's just saying, let's be honest about what the text is saying.
It's like he's pulling back the curtain on all these allegorical
Yeah.
interpretations that have kind of obscured the Song of Songs' original message.
Exactly. And, he's not saying allegory is always bad.
Right.
But in this case, he believes it's been used to downplay
Okay.
this very human, very sensual
Right.
celebration of love and intimacy.
So we're talking about metaphor,
Yes.
and this brings us to the garden imagery that pops up all the time
All the time.
in Song of Songs.
If
And
everything.
again, it's another example of how the book layers meaning upon meaning upon
It
meaning.
really
It's
does.
not just about pretty flowers and lush landscapes, right?
Right, exactly. So what else is going on with this garden imagery?
Well, Dr. Carr explains how garden can represent the Garden of Eden, the lavish gardens of royalty,
I see.
even pagan cult centers. But what's fascinating is how it also takes on this very intimate erotic dimension.
Okay.
Yes, in verses like Song of Songs 4.12, 4.16, 5.1, and 6.2,
All right.
the garden becomes a space of passionate encounters, a metaphor for the lovers' bodies
Wow.
and their desire for one another.
Interesting, isn't it?
And the act of plowing the garden was a common euphemism for sexual union
Right.
in ancient literature. So it's like they're using this everyday image to convey something deeply personal and erotic.
Exactly. And this is where Dr. Carr's argument for a literal reading really comes into play.
Okay.
He believes that by recognizing the sensuality of these metaphors, we unlock a whole new layer of meaning.
So with all this rich imagery and symbolism swirling around,
Yeah.
it begs the question, why is this book even in the Bible?
Right.
What purpose does it serve? What did people think of it back then?
Well, Dr. Carr takes us back to 90 AD
Okay.
with Rabbi Akiba,
Okay.
who declared Song of Songs to be the holiest of holies,
Okay.
but then also said it shouldn't be sung in taverns.
Wait a minute. So it's the holiest of holies,
Yep.
but it's also a little too spicy for public consumption.
Apparently.
So Rabbi Akiba was wrestling with this book too.
Yeah, I think that tension is at the heart of why the Song of Songs is so compelling even today.
Okay.
It forces us to confront our assumptions about spirituality and sensuality,
Yeah.
about what's sacred and what's taboo.
And that tension, that mystery,
Yeah.
that's what keeps us coming back to this book, trying to decipher its meaning.
Yeah.
and maybe even discovering something new about ourselves.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Carr doesn't stop with Rabbi Akiba.
Right.
He delves into some other interpretations that have been proposed over the centuries.
Oh, I bet.
And believe me, there are some wild theories out there.
So where do we go from here? What other rabbit holes does he lead us down in his exploration of the Song of Songs?
Well, let's see.
So we've got these ancient interpretations, right?
Yeah.
Some seeing it as leftover pagan rituals.
Right.
Others connecting it to burial rites.
Mm-hmm.
Even the idea that it's like a critique of King Solomon himself.
Right.
But what does Dr. Carr think?
Yeah.
Like, what's the real heart of the matter?
Well, you know, it's interesting how those interpretations kind of dance around the obvious.
Yeah.
The Song of Songs is about love and desire.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
And Dr. Carr leans into that.
Okay.
He argues that at its core,
yeah,
this book is a celebration of married love.
Okay.
And the beauty of sexuality,
mm-hmm,
as God intended it.
You know, it's funny. We talk about the Bible being this ancient text.
Right.
But that idea feels so incredibly modern.
Yeah.
It's almost radical to hear someone say that the Bible celebrates sexuality.
It is radical.
Not just tolerates it.
Exactly. And I think that's why Dr. Carr's perspective is so refreshing.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to acknowledge the elephant in the room.
Right.
He's saying, look.
Yeah.
This book is filled with sensual imagery.
Right.
And we shouldn't shy away from that.
Right.
We should embrace it as part of God's good creation.
And that ties back to his point about the literal interpretation of the text.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
If we're going to understand Song of Songs fully,
right,
we can't just spiritualize everything away. We,
yeah,
have to acknowledge the physical,
yeah,
the embodied experience,
right,
of love and desire.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so,
yeah,
we might actually discover a deeper understanding,
right,
of what it means to be human.
Okay.
To be created in God's image.
So when he talks about the very good creation of male and female in Genesis,
yeah,
you get the sense that he's connecting that directly to Song of Song. It's
right,
like this ancient echo.
It is.
Resonating throughout Scripture.
It's a beautiful thread that he weaves,
yeah,
throughout the lecture.
Okay.
Showing how the Song of Songs fits into the larger tapestry of biblical revelation.
I see.
He sees it as a vital piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
A testament to the goodness,
yeah,
and beauty of God's design for human relationships.
But I have to ask, if we're taking Song of Songs literally,
yeah,
as a celebration of married love and sexuality,
right,
does that mean it's condoning anything goes?
Right. Well, that's an important question. And Dr. Carr is very clear on this point.
Okay.
While the Song of Songs doesn't shy away from depicting desire,
right,
and even temptation,
okay,
it ultimately upholds the ideal of one man and one woman,
yeah,
committed to each other in marriage.
So it's not about promoting a free-for-all.
No.
But rather recognizing the power and beauty,
exactly,
of sexuality within the context of a covenant relationship.
Exactly. And this aligns with what we see in the New Testament as well.
Yeah.
Where marriage is described as honorable.
Right.
And the marriage bed undefiled.
Yeah. It's a consistent message throughout Scripture.
It is.
That true intimacy and fulfillment are found within the boundaries of,
right,
a committed, loving relationship.
Right.
It's not about suppressing our desires.
No.
It's about channeling them in a way,
yeah,
that honors God and brings us closer to our spouse.
And what I find fascinating is how he links Song of Songs back to that first love song in Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
When Adam sees Eve and says, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh."
Wow.
It's like Song of Songs is expanding on that.
It is.
Exploring it in all its richness and complexity.
We're not just talking about a random book of erotic poetry,
no,
tucked away in the Bible.
Right.
This is something that's fundamentally connected to God's design for humanity.
Yes.
To the very essence of what it means to be male and female.
Right.
Created for relationship, intimacy, love.
That's exactly what Dr. Carr is getting at.
Mm.
And it's a perspective that has the potential to transform the way we view,
yeah,
not just the Song of Songs,
right,
but our own relationships as well.
We've covered so much ground already.
We have.
The wedding imagery, the sensual language, the garden metaphor,
mm-hmm,
all these different interpretations, mm-hmm, that have been proposed over the centuries.
Right.
But where does Dr. Carr leave us? Like, what's his final takeaway?
Yeah.
What's the big so what that he wants listeners to walk away with? You know, this whole conversation has really challenged, like, my assumptions about Song of Songs.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought it was this mysterious, almost allegorical book.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
like you have to decode it to find the real meaning.
Yeah.
But Dr. Carr makes a compelling case for taking it literally, you know,
yeah,
for appreciating its beauty and sensuality as a celebration,
right,
of God's creation.
And that's where he leaves us.
Yeah.
With this thought-provoking question.
Okay.
If we embrace the Song of Songs as a literal celebration of married love and sexuality.
Yeah.
How does that change our understanding of the Bible's approach to love and relationships as a whole.
It's a question that really makes you pause and think.
It does.
Because if we're honest with ourselves, many of us have this preconceived notion that the Bible is all about rules and restrictions.
Right.
Especially when it comes to love and sex.
Right. But Dr. Carr's perspective challenges.
It does.
He's suggesting that the Bible, or at least the Song of Songs, offers a much more nuanced and perhaps even liberating view of human experience.
It's like this hidden gems tucked away in scripture, waiting to be rediscovered.
Right.
A book that speaks to the deepest longings of the human heart.
Yeah.
The desire for connection, intimacy, love.
Right.
And it's all framed within the beauty of God's creation, the goodness of our bodies.
Yeah.
The joy of marital union.
And that's a message that transcends time and culture.
Yeah.
The Song of Songs is a reminder that love is a powerful force, a gift from God to be cherished and celebrated.
It's not something to be feared or suppressed, but embraced.
Yes.
Experienced fully.
Yes.
Within the context of a committed, loving relationship.
Well said.
What started as a deep dive into the Song of Songs has turned into a journey of self-discovery.
Yeah.
A re-examination of my own beliefs about love, faith, and the Bible itself.
That's the power of these deep dives.
It really is.
They challenge us to think differently, to question our assumptions.
Yeah.
To discover new perspectives that can enrich our lives and unexpected ways.
If you're feeling like you've only just scratched the surface of this topic, don't worry. We've got you covered.
Okay.
Dr. Carr has generously shared his bibliography with us.
Oh, great.
And we'll be sure to include those resources in the show notes so you can delve deeper into the different interpretations.
Wonderful.
Of the Song of Songs and continue this journey of discovery on your own.
So until next time, keep those minds curious.
Keep them curious.
Those hearts open.
Yes.
And keep exploring the wonders of the world around you.
Because you never know what treasures you might uncover.
Exactly. See, Angel.